And we are back. You are listening to Davins. And on the break, we were listening to GrooveTube, and that was their song, Kinda Miles. I like that little musical stuff. Kinda Miles. We were just talking about all the adventures I had on this past break. But Joe had adventures, too. Didn't you, Joe?
Oh, most certainly, yes.
Yes, and Joe's adventures are the type of adventures that bring smiles to children's children's mouths, to their parents, and sometimes to Joe. But sometimes they don't go well for Joe. And that's when it brings smiles to my mouth and Pip's mouth and our fans' mouth. And we call those Santa Hell Gigs.
Yeah.
So without further ado, Joe's lengthy theme for Santa Hell Gigs. And then Joe will regale us and get us in that holiday mood. No, no, not Christmas. Halloween, where you just want to throw eggs at people. Here we go.
Christmas, where friends and family get together and share the warmth and happiness of the holiday season. A big part of this is Santa Claus, who spreads hope and joy to children throughout the world. But sometimes, it just don't turn out that way. No! Santa has to deal with stupid parents, bratty kids, traffic, lousy parking, tolls, having kids go through my candy cane bucket like they're piranhas, holding a piss in for 7 hours straight, being loaded like a pack mule to lug in presents into their stupid house. And if you think I'm unpleasant for 11 months out of the year and I'm going to change for one more, you're nuts! Welcome to Santa Ho 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 Hell Gig!
I noticed that that's probably our longest theme song, and it's a great theme song. Joe did a great job with that, the production of that, but I'm thinking, well, you know what? That's the one segment that's all about Joe. So, you know, Joe's like, you know what? Usually we do a 30, 40-second theme song. Screw it. This is my segment. I got a lot to say.
And you want to know something? I kept up when I was out doing the gigs this year. I kept on thinking about it, and I'm saying to myself, everything is true. You know, I go, holding a piss in for 3 hours. Yeah.
All right. Well, Joe, let me ask you a question. I wrote a little poem for about your adventures and our show. Should I do the poem? It was towards the night before.
Is that the one you posted?
Yes.
Love
Let's
it.
Move on.
You didn't like it?
Mm-mm. No?
Did you like it, Pip?
I thought it was funny.
All right, then we'll do it. I have two of the responses I wanted to hear. And then we will have Joe regale us. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the den a radio show was starting. Show should arrive around 7:10. The Sam broadcaster was working, but sneeze we not dare, in hopes that Curry Claw soon would be there. The Dennish were nestled all snug in the pen, while visions of scammers danced in their heads. And Pip in cat fur and I in my cap had just settled our asses for 3 hours of radio crap. When up in the living room there arose a clatter, I sprang from my chair to see what stupid shattered. Away I saw a man who appeared in a gi, tore open the door and thanked Russ for sponsoring us three. The pastrami and rye and fresh coleslaw gave a taste of Goldberg's with nary a flaw. Well, when what to my wandering eye did appear but a miniature truck and Tom and some beer. With a little old Curry Claw so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he was the Den Pen's favorite dick. More rapid than Ann Jackson's insanity he came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Belinda, now Agnes, now Brown Cotton and Flory, on Ishmael, on Mickey, on Mavis, it's time for Pip's stories. Hold on, I have to go down because I didn't print it, excuse me. To the top of the Western Union, three assholes in basement will call. Now scam away, scam away, scam away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane, scammers will lie. When they meet with an obstacle, lie, lie, lie. So down to the den, the scammers were screwed with the sleigh full of bullshit and Curry Claws too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof, God damn it, I slipped on reindeer shit. Now it's on my boot. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the stairs, Curry Claws came a little less round. He was dressed all in plumbing shirts from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of watches he had flung on his back, and he looked like a criminal, except he's white, not black.
Oh, God.
His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. He was drunk off his ass. The liqueur was cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. I know I'm 2 hours late, but I'm ready for the show. Oh. The butt of a cig he held tight in his teeth. He spouted right-wing rhetoric. I could not believe. He had a broad face, a little round belly. Then the den shook when he yelled about libs and Obama. But his tone softened when he spoke of that legal secretary, his mama. And I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye, his votes are always red, soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke many words, but his mic would not work, and I filled all the airwaves and smirked at the jerk. And handing him some soda to fill his big gullet, I laughed at the picture of Joe and Ant sporting a mullet. He sprang to his Honda and let out a big burp, and away he drove more erratic than a North Korean missile. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, at least those who vote right." How do you not like that, Joe Curry?
Ugh.
You should see him commenting in the chat.
No, no, no good?
He's going, "Pit you."
Oh, oh, that's only him. Who cares? What do you think, Pep Helix?
I thought it was very amusing.
Yeah, what's wrong? What don't you like about it?
The lack of humor?
Well, I know it was accurate. Is that the problem? Because it was dead on?
I saw that on Facebook. I'm like, all right.
I got positive responses on Facebook.
Joe said in the chat, the nausea starting again.
It's kind of like when Joe has a keyboard solo, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's called theme for a piss break.
A theme for a piss break.
I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was creative. I whipped it up in like 10 minutes.
Lisa liked it.
Good. Yeah, as long as everybody but Joe enjoyed it.
There's two.
What?
There's three.
And then there's you, wrong as usual.
No, I've heard some of the feedback on it.
What feedback? Pip's in the chat. I don't know. Tell me.
Oh, I know from people that saw it on Facebook.
Oh, well, yeah, because they're all your stupid right-wing friends that think you're right.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Let's remember who you hang out with. People who are in their 50s and...
Okay.
What?
Millionaires?
No, that's one who the rest of you glom onto.
No.
And then there's the one who's about in his 50s or 60s who thinks if I type the C word in somebody's phone while he leaves it someplace and send it to his friends that he's a genius. That's the mentality you're hanging out with. Yes, Joe. Yes, 60-year-old men that have the humor that a 15-year-old go, really?
I do apologize about that.
But that's who thinks you're right. Those are the ones you're backslapping with. Those are the ones you are hanging out with for all hours. People of that mentality. When I have to look at you from that group and go, you know, for the most part, Joe's in the top six of the intelligent ones.
Let me tell you something. I mean, look, you two have every right to be upset about that, because I couldn't believe he did. I think he grabbed the wrong phone.
No, I don't think he did, Joe. You know who else got that, by the way? Our management. Good job, stupid.
Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not really concerned what your followers think.
But the funny thing about that, the one funny thing about that is a tale of two cities, because you guys were mortified.
I didn't say a word. I didn't comment at all.
You did comment, so, you know, You both commented that was very wrong, which I understand. You're yeah. Right. I'm not going to argue.
Here's why I thought it was wrong. Because it was so...
I did think it was wrong.
But here's what I'm saying. It was so immature. So obvious. So stupid. But then you remember that this is a 60-year-old man, probably, because I know your friends, that has to hide in his bathroom to masturbate just to get away from his wife. I understand.
Not a 60-year-old man. He's about a 50-year-old man.
I apologize.
He was drunk, and I'm assuming that was him that wrote that because he was yelling and screaming it during karaoke that night.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And did everybody look at him politely and go, he's special?
Well, it's funny. If you're not texting it on my phone, I can guarantee he grabbed the wrong phone and did that. Now, like I said, it's a tale of two cities. Like, you guys, you got it, and, you know, it was an issue.
What a gift.
A group message for the band got it. Johnny texted me back that he is what he eats, and and I think the new album's going to be called that.
Oh, no!
Unfortunately, Johnny also told you they're making changes for 2015. After that message, we no longer need a keyboardist.
Yeah, right.
But McClinton's waiting to have you back.
Say what?
McClinton's waiting to have you back.
No, I don't think
so. Oh, no.
Everybody comes back.
No, not to that band.
No.
But yes. So tell us how you were wronged as Santa Claus.
Well, There was a couple of issues. First of all, there was three incidents that kind of tarnished the whole season. First of all, I did a Santa Claus gig for a bunch of Pakistani people.
Wait, were they Christian Pakistanis?
I guess they were. I mean, they were nice enough people, but they all looked like, and there were some Chinese people that came in too. It was like performing for the Honor Society.
Yeah, but they expected a bearded man, but his beard wasn't supposed to be white. It was supposed to be Muhammad. Stupid, wrong party.
I know. So I get there and I walk in. Hello, you must be Santa Claus. Yeah.
who else would it be?
What was your first glow?
No, hold on, how stupid is that? No, I'm Big Bird. Wrong place.
So I get there, right, and they're these stars. So I'm just sitting there and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, now there's like a bunch of like Honor Society looking kids setting up a keyboard and all this other stuff, and they're trying to play over me, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Wait, they're trying to play over you?
Yeah.
Now you know how every one of your lead singers felt, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a job to be a lead singer, but anyway, we go out, they start like when it's time for the kids to come up, they start crowding me, and I'm like, man, these people, they're suffocating me the way they're coming in. I'm like, boy, these people must think it's a rail train back home where they can just pack on the roof and stuff like that. That's not the case.
They're hanging on. Have you ever seen in some third world countries how the buses have people hanging on the outside on the roof?
But here's the thing.
Chickens,
but
you know.
Santa Claus, when he walks into this environment,
yes,
is generally mobbed.
Yes.
I mean, Joe, this is what children do. I mean, I know they were the wrong color for you, and you were concerned that one of them might give you a package that had a ticking noise. But, I mean, this can't be out of the ordinary to be surrounded by children as Santa Claus, right?
Right. But I was in no mood for anything that night because basically while I was waiting to get to the gig, I'm sitting in the car and my wife sends me a text.
Oh.
And she goes, the neighbors aren't happy that you didn't rake the leaves and they are sick and tired of your leaves blowing onto their lawn.
Somebody's not getting a gift.
I wrote back.
Oh, no.
I told her, I go, it's not the neighbors, Joanne. It's that bitch across the street. And tell her that I work three jobs. Her idea of working yard work is pointing her fat fucking finger out to the landscapers. I go, you tell her that I said I'll rake my leaves when I'm damn good and ready.
Well, you don't sound very merry, Santa Claus.
Oh, I wasn't, but I was so sore as hell at that. I'm like, and Joanne, you know, and text back, well, I'll rake the leaves. I go, you don't know how to, I go, you don't lift a finger around here. I go, you rake the leaves. And she goes, I have a friend that'll do it for free. I go, I'd do it for free. I go. There's not one leaf to be raked until I command that it's be raked. I'm not that bitch across the street doesn't tell me when I rake the lawn. I decide when to rake.
So the man that can't run his life can run a yard full of leaves is what we've learned here.
Right.
Okay.
So
you're a prick.
No, I'm not a prick. You deal with that Jane across the street.
Yeah, but your wife said she would handle it, and you bit her head off.
No, because she's going to handle it at the whim of the woman across the street. Now that I know this, I will decide when my leaves.
So now the lawn will go unraked out of spite.
It will.
Yes. Well, no, I kind of understand Joe in this position, because she's calling him like he's supposed to jump out of the Santa suit and run home with a rake right now, because the neighbors deem it necessary.
I think that's just how she operates. When a thought comes to her head, she shares it.
Right. But the thing is, it's infuriating to have somebody do that at the moment where you least can do something about it. But the other thing is, it's like, then she tried to shame him by saying, I have a friend who'll do it for free. Like, it's because he's a cheapskate that it's not getting done. Like, he wouldn't do it himself. No, I'm with Joe on this. I would be pissed.
But you don't know the tone of the text. It could have been like, maybe she really wanted to help out because she knew her soon-to-be ex-man was working so hard.
No.
Joanne knows me and how much she hates her, and she would have told her, you know what, lady, not one more word out of you. You're going to look funny with a rake in your asshole.
It's the holiday season, stupid. People don't talk like that.
I do. I don't give a damn when it is.
I'm sorry, Devin, you're completely in the minority because Tom's here going.
Well, this has happened several years. Really? I've lived here 50 years. And Estelle moves in, and suddenly a couple of my leaves get on her lawn. I'm going to buy a Great Dane, and I'm going to have him shit on her grass. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to name the Great Dane Max.
Why don't you just have some of your drunken friends do it?
Lawn. your dog is on my lawn again. Yeah, don't pet him. Max don't like you, Estelle. Go back in the house. Tell your story walking.
But again, all right, so fine.
Tell your story walking.
All right, so say Joe has a right to be upset at his at this neighbor, at the soon-to-be ex. Say Joe is in the right in that.
Yeah, you know what? I would be Cranky Claws at that point.
But you're a professional.
And then you have
you
to
got a to... you got a job to do. Many a time Joe's hit the stage as a comedian, you know, not in the best of moods or
right.
having a long trip or weather or traffic sucks,
yeah.
and he doesn't show it.
Right.
And we never hear about it. He knows how to mask it and push those feelings down deep where they can manifest itself many years later and others have to deal with it then.
Well, what can I tell you?
But so you would think Joe would be able to get his Santa Claus game face on.
I did, and it's more like a game beard.
Anyway, all right. So you're surrounded by Pakistanis and a little nervous.
Right. So I start doing my game. I read the night before Christmas, right? And they could give a shit. All right.
They could
so
give.
Then I move on to Christmas carols, you know, and then we sing some Christmas carols. And they could, you know, and it's like they're not singing it in time and stuff like that. I'm like,
wait, what? Wait,
they're not singing it in rhythm and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're the band leader, guys.
Yes.
Guys, we got. Are you guys practicing on your own? This is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
You knew Santa was going to be here tonight. How do you guys? I come all this way with my reindeer and my nagging neighbor at the North Pole, and you guys can't bring it? No, yeah, you're right, Joe. You should be pissed. They can't sing.
No, I can just pick. He's tapping his baton on the banister. All right, let's try this again.
I just want to hear Jingle Bells with a Pakistani accent.
So do I.
Well, I tell you, they were handy because they knew where to get gas when I got done, so it wasn't a problem. What I said was wrong. But anyway, it's time to take pictures, and like I said, they start crowding me. And finally, I'm starting to be a little more proactive and smart because this happened at a couple of other gigs where they'll just let the kids just... Jam pack right against me, and I finally explained to the. I called one of the women over, and I go, "Look, I go if the kids jam pack against me, you're not going to get decent pictures." And I'm just looking out for you guys, and they were very nice.
Oh, that's a smart way to approach it.
It is.
That's a much better way. To go, listen, I'm a grumpy prick, and I might hit a kid. Your way is much better.
But you want to know something? It is because what happens is it happened when I did a Christmas gig. At, Christ almighty, it's that big fancy catering hall over in Garfield.
Where I used to do shows?
Not the Cameo.
God, I forgot that.
It doesn't matter, Joe.
But anyway, I did a big Greek wedding, and the Greeks all had their kids, you know, pile into me, and it's like they were just
pile into them, like it's roller derby.
It was. It ruined everything for the kids and stuff like that, because they didn't care.
Don't you know Santa Claus needs his space? Where the hell are my elves to back these little bastards up?
Well, what happened was I did have my elves that night, and, you know, I told them, I go, handle this shit. You know?
And handle this shit. Yeah. Punch them in the knees, damn it.
Yeah. And they did the best job they could, you know?
You know, elves can only do so much. They're half the size of an average man, Joe.
Yeah, right. So, then I get done with all the presents, and I still had maybe about 20 minutes left. So this other woman comes up, Santa Claus, will you be doing any more things? And I'm like, what do you want me to do, lady, a cartwheel? I mean, what the fuck? You know, I sang songs, I gave out toys, you know.
I hope you didn't say it like that.
No, I didn't. I was thinking that. And she goes, how about stories? I go, I just read two stories. Well, why don't you sing songs? I go, I just sang all the songs. I go, you know, I'm saying to myself, what more is this?
I just sang all the songs.
I sang all the songs. So I go, you know what? I go, you want me to read the stories again and sing the songs again? Okay, if you want. That's what I did.
No way!
My God.
While I was getting done, I'm like, okay, I'm done. They start having the kids come up, and the kids are all going to sing in a chorus Christmas carols. And now I notice I'm stuck, and I'm like, holy cow, I got to sit here and sing the Christmas carols and stuff with them.
Oh, no.
I'm supposed to get out of here. You know, so I'm like, I started, you know, then the kids started playing on the little portable keyboard and stuff like that, and he sang about three songs and stuff like that, and I wound up jamming with those guys as Santa.
Look at Joe trying to get a new band gig.
Get that in, you know.
Listen, I usually rehearse with Race Odyssey on Sundays and Mondays. Can you guys do something on a Wednesday? I can get back to Jersey. No, I got a yak. I'll bring what I have to bring to the band.
Right, so but they actually were nice enough. I got a $20 tip out of that one, which was good.
That's nice.
The best, one of the most notable Christmas gigs I've ever had was Sunday. 2 weeks ago. I'm working in Garfield, New Jersey. I'm supposed to do a indoor soccer camp. And I pull in and I park and I'm putting on my stuff and everything is looking fine. I'm like, good, this will be really good. I take 3 steps and I go, what smells funny? Oh, I just stepped in dog shit. I don't know where this dog shit was. I know that the dog had to be the size of a mountain lion. Because the dog, I mean, I had dog shit all over my boots. So what do I had to step, and I had to take the, I had to scrape what dog shit I could off my boot. I had stuff in the back of the truck that I sprayed on it for the moment. And then I just scraped it into the gravel and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, it doesn't smell bad. I got rid of the dog shit on the side of the boot. Let me go. And I knew there was some dog shit under there. But I'm like, all right, I tried to get most of it off because I got to get into this gig now. So lucky for me, I walk into this soccer place, and it's filled with artificial grass.
Oh, no!
Perfect for dog shit scraping.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. So when I first get the guy, I go into the guy's office, and he goes, all right, Santa Claus, we're going to bring you out. You're going to go into the field for a little bit. Then there's a game, so we're going to bring you down into the restaurant. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
So I sit there, and I go, well, I don't smell the dog shit that much. But so I go. They bring me into where the soccer field is.
And wait a minute. And I'm wait, like, I don't
I'm
hear it.
Like, shuffle, trying to get some of the dog shit off.
I so don't then, smell it that much.
Yeah. So then I got the guy goes, all right, hold on for a little bit. We're going to just decide when you're going to go on. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you can't make up your mind? All right. So I shuffle a little bit more, scrape some more dog shit off.
How much did you step in?
Huh?
How much did you step in where you're constantly scraping it off?
Enough, dude. Enough. Enough. Because a lot, yeah. Because what happens is I wear like Doc Martens under there. So it's not like a regular shoe. It's like it's got deep grip, so the dog shit got all in there.
You can really get in there. Nice.
So I'm trying to scrape it off. So now I go up to where I have to do, and I go, I'll read my story, and I'll play my song. Well, apparently some of the soccer balls from the other game it nailed me in the head.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Why is there never video or me there when these things...
I'll tell you, that was a little bit more of a scrape, 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 dog shit on your grass. Dog shit on your grass on that one.
Oh, every time you hit me, a dog shit scraping goes onto your rug.
So I gotta ask, what happens after you get hit? I mean, what is Santa Claus? Are you reading a story? Are you singing? Are you paint the picture of what's going on and the moment of contact and what happens immediately after that?
I just laughed it off. I was sitting there, it was the night before Christmas, and all boom, oh, gee whiz.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe's a pro.
You got to remember something, and you alluded to it a little while ago. It's like Joe Curry, you know, Joe Curry's got a, you know, whatever's on Joe's mind or whatever Joe's got, he's got to shrug it off and do the gig. And like I said, I'm not going to go, who's the motherfucker that threw that? You know.
Well, the neighbor didn't just text, so you're in a better mood.
Yeah.
Years ago, I went to Monday Night Football to see the Jets lose to somebody. And the Bergenfield Bears, Bergenfield's the high school I went to. We have a very good marching band, always have for years, generations.
Oh, yeah.
So they play at halftime. And so at the end of the half, they're marching off. And the first players that come onto the football field to start the second half are usually the place kickers and punters. They start loosening up before the rest of the teams and coaches get out there for whatever reason.
Okay.
So the punter's working on his punts. The marching band is marching off the field. Punter punts it all the way in the other hand. Hits one of the guys, and they have these really long hats. What do they call those band hats that are really tall? And like the Grand Poobah hats from the Flintstones.
Yes.
Yeah, one of these big Grand Poobah hats without the horns and everything. Hits him right in the head. God bless that brass player. He kept on marching.
Oh, yeah. Don't you break formation.
No, you don't break. So you got Joe in the same situation.
Yep.
You got to love that right
oh,
there.
Oh, ho, ho.
Gig's a gig. Gig's yep. a gig. No matter it's Santa, the band, the comedy, gig's a gig. You really notice that. It's essentially a different performance, but it's the same framework.
You can't break character.
Yeah, can't break character. So what happens is I get done with that gig. And I get in the truck, and I'm like, all right, I still got to get the rest of the dog shit off.
So, man's got to do what a man's got to do.
And it was disgusting. I had dog was I went to Quick Check, and I got a bottle of 409, a toothbrush, and a big bottle of water.
Yep.
And I pull up into this cement manufacturer company in the back, figuring there's nobody there. And I look like a cobbler, a dog shit cleaning cobbler. 35 minutes, I'm scraping dog shit off my boots. And stuff.
Again, why is there nobody taking pictures of this?
I know. Santa.
You know, and I had everything I need. I scraped the dog shit off and this, that, and the other thing.
Wait, are you still in the Santa seat while you're doing this?
Yeah, I had to make sure I didn't get dog shit on my suit. I had to take my shoes off. I had one of my slop cloths in the back.
I wasn't happy with that job.
Yeah, luckily was off duty.
I bargained for food before it's eaten, not afterwards, Joe.
Right.
Yeah, you should see what he puts in me. There's no glory with this guy.
So I'm scraping all that off, and I got everything clean, good enough clean and stuff like that, and then. Then I head to the next gig, and that gig is like a 40-minute run down Jersey, and I get there, and it's this woman, this rich woman, who's a nice enough woman. She had a couple in her. I call up and look, I could smell kind of like dog shit on my foot. I'm tired, so I call up. I go, yeah, hi, Mr. So and So. This is Santa Claus. Hi, Santa Claus. Oh, this is going to be a magical night.
Oh, boy.
I just had a baby at 40, and I'm so happy. I'm like, I don't give a shit, lady. Where's the house? You know? So I go in there, and I make my entrance and stuff like that. She goes, Santa, you're a little late. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I could have been on time and scraped dog shit all over your nice carpet.
Is that what you said to her?
No!
Oh, I mean, you could have at that point, but, listen, I had a reindeer incident.
So it's like... I get done with that gig. So I finally get done with the gig, and then I get my truck, and I drive to a Dunkin' Donuts, and I get myself some Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate, which I am totally effing addicted to for some reason this year. It's like my drug. So I'm having that, and I'm just going over a couple of texts. And she calls me, Santa Claus, did you still have a gift card? And
what?
I'm like, let me look in my bag. No, I don't have a gift card. Oh, I'm missing a gift card. Well, I felt like saying, you're drunk, and it's probably in that pile of shit in front of your ottoman. I go,
wait, is that what you said?
No, I said, do you look, but you want to know something? What I did say, and it's amazing how, Davin, it's like when you're on stage and you're conscious of everything that's going on around you.
Yep.
I have to, when I do the gigs, I have to make sure, because there's kids running around, I have my candy canes, I got my book, my Santa elf hat. It seems kind of funny, but there's someone... You're conscious of where everything is,
yeah,
and the presents and stuff like that. So I told her, I go, it's probably by the ottoman because you had a bunch of presents there, and there are four presents that you put to the side. You might want to look there. If you don't find, let me know. I go, if I find it, I definitely will. I got your address. I'll definitely send it to you. But it's just like, obviously I was polite, but it's just amazing how much you notice, where I was able to try to figure out for her where it was,
Really? That's multitasking.
Yeah. So basically, Christmas.
I'm sorry, lady. I used that gift card to scrape the rest of the dog shit off my boot. It was for Petco, so I thought it would be okay.
So Christmas Eve rolls around, and I go out to do my shows on Christmas Eve, and it wasn't that bad. It was Christmas Day that was a problem. Christmas Day rolls around, and I'm hanging out with a very special pal of mine, and we're down at the beach. And it was a very warm day, so I go, let me take off my jacket. I'm throwing it back in the truck. And I open up the back door of the truck, and my Santa bag is not there. And I'm like, where is my Santa bag? And they're like, well, maybe you brought it in your house. I go, no, I know. I was so tired when I got home, I know what I brought in the house. And I go, and the bag was not there.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I go, and we were going to have a nice afternoon. And I go, you know what? I go, it's probably in Jersey.
Oh.
I have to go back to Jersey right now to find this thing.
Well, now what? No, you don't have a backup bag? How much does a Santa bag cost?
Well, what the problem is I got the bag. There's more than that. I got my CDs, all the music, and books, and stuff like that. Plus, some of the stuff is the bookers.
But wait a minute. The elves can't make you more? I don't understand, Santa Claus.
No, because the bag, that stuff is money,
Yeah.
Screw the elves. I'm going back to Jersey.
Well, yeah, so, where did you think you had left it?
I went back to Jersey. because the people weren't home that day. So I went back to Jersey hoping that, you know, that the bag was there. So I get.
Could you imagine you come home and Santa's breaking into your house?
I tell you, I was pissed. So I get there and I go, God, I go, it's not there. I looked all around. So I'm like, how could I be so stupid? Because I'm very methodical when I do these gigs. So what happens is when I get done with the gig, I will open my truck. I will put my keys on my roof because I can't start the truck.
Right.
And it's not going to get lost in a car. I know it's on the roof. I take my tape player. I put it in the back seat. And then I take my Santa bag and I put that in right after the tape player. I walk around the truck. I take my wig off. I take my stuff off, walk around, and then I go. Here's what happened. I get done with the gig. I walk up the driveway. I open up the truck. I put my tape player in. Now I hear kids. And I'm like, you know what? I better pull the truck up about 10 feet. I pull the truck up, walk around, take my wig off and stuff like that. The bag isn't there to trip over because it's 10 feet away. I don't see the. I'm assuming. I thought I put the bag in because it's such a rhythm thing.
Yeah.
I get in the truck. Now I turn around. You're like, well, why don't you see the bag when you went past? Because it was pea soup fog. If you remember that night, it was very foggy.
Oh, yes.
So I assume. Because
it was one foggy Christmas Eve.
I'm sorry?
It was a foggy Christmas Eve, and Santa came to say.
Yeah, I know. I actually used that in some of the songs that night.
Look at you with the improv, Joe. You're amazing.
So you know, I know what happened, because, like I said, I'm very methodical. So I called. It totally screwed up my Christmas Day, because I wanted to spend time with my friend. I couldn't do that. Plus, I had to go to the compound that night, and I had to wrap gifts for the kids, like Joe's kid and Dawn's kid. And I had to drive. So it's 2 hours to Jersey, 2 hours back for naught. Come home, have to wrap the gifts. So the day after Christmas, I called the customer. I got the customer, and I go, yeah. I go, it's the fellow that played Santa.
It's Santa.
Oh, we have your bag. And I'm like, good. I go, the police found it. I wish they'd left it there, you know. But I go, could you put it on the porch, and I'll come and get it?
Wait, how do the police find? What, I don't understand.
I guess they have the cops were patrolling there, and they saw the bag on the side of the road.
Yeah, and they found a suspicious bag, and they opened it up, and there's a Santa suit in it. They figured it out.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right?
That's really weird. We're just making our rounds, ma'am.
Well, cops do that.
You know what? Thank God they did, you know?
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I figured, all right, I got it. Now, that day, I'm going up to my the family farm, see my my brother and my family and stuff like that. So I figure, all right, good. I will go get the bag on the way to the farm in Bainbridge, New York. I'm 2 hours into Jersey, so I won't have that much more of a trip. So I go to where the last show was, and I pick up the bag. I get in the truck. Now, from my house to the family farm is 216 miles. 216 miles from my home in Huntington to the family farm in Bainbridge. So I figure I'm two hours in Jersey. It's a four-hour ride up there. So I figure, all right, at least it might be just another 2 hours to get to the farm. I loaded in my GPS 206 miles from where I am in Jersey to get to the farm. I got 4 hours to go. I'm like, you got to be kidding. It just ruined my whole holiday. It ruined it. I just put a big damper because the holiday was really good. And on the up part, I went to see my brother. Now, my brother... John is 82 years old.
Wow.
The man is in phenomenal shape. He could kick our asses. I mean,
does he want to give a try? The old timers like to seem to want to have a go at me.
Yeah, let me tell you, he kicked your ass and then run 2 miles.
He better.
He's fantastic. The man goes to the gym every day. He swims, works out, does kettlebells for an hour and a half every other day. He is phenomenal. And then we went up to the farm. It's a 410-acre farm. So when we go there, we always take a walk up into the woods. And 3 hours, man, going strong. You know, it's just so good to see that he's, you know, in good health. The family is in good health. And it was a really good holiday. The only damper was being sick on Sunday, yesterday and today.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I can understand how having to go all the way back twice would really tick you off, especially during, you know, the holiday weekend. Or holiday days. You're trying to spend them doing fun things, and here you are going, damn it, I gotta go back. I left it on the, ugh.
Well, yeah, and the worst part about that, Pip, is like, you know the driving we do. We discussed that before.
You know,
it's a day off. You don't really want to drive, especially out to Jersey. I mean, I wasn't leaving the island at all that day, not till the next day.
Right.
But the thing about it was I was in the middle of a really nice time with somebody special, a nice afternoon, and I had to stop.
Yeah.
I had to stop immediately, and I had to drive to Jersey. I had no choice. You know, I had to get it because a lot of this, you know, like the music that she has, there's certain music she wants you to play, stuff like that. And what really was a kicker was I do have the music, you know, like I have the backup music. And the day of Christmas Eve, I had it on my bed in my music room. And I go, you know what? Let me just put it in the bag. Just in case I need it, I'll put it in there. And I'm like, yeah. You know, but I got the bag back. It's, you know, it's all good. You know, and it turned out to be a really good holiday.
Well, good.
That's good.
Glad you got your bag back. I guess we'll hear these stories next December.
Yep.
Unless somebody is kind enough to do Christmas in July.
Do people do that?
I've done it. I've done 2 gigs in July, and believe me, it's hot in that suit. And the funny thing was, I was doing a party, and there's an elf. I don't think she works for the company much. She's a sweetheart. I really missed her. But we did. We used to do a lot of gigs together. And we're working this gig in the summer, and there was a thunderstorm coming. So I look at her, I go, when have we ever had something like this before, huh? She started laughing.
Yeah, really? Well, yeah. Now, can't you work up a seasonal Santa-type ensemble?
They expect you to be Santa. These people, obviously they're rich, and they have expectations and stuff like that.
Nobody wants to see Santa show up in his shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
It doesn't work. You got to come in a suit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course they want you in like this velvet.
That's the gig, though.
Fur coat thing.
What do you think the Disney characters are going through when they're walking around the theme parks?
Oh, I know.
Well, that's the gig.
Yeah, I know, but it's just
cardiac arrest is a side buzz.
Yeah, but they're probably having a pool party.
Yeah, they're in the pool because they're paying for Santa.
I know, but it's just like Santa shows up all sweaty and smelly in the middle of August.
Well, Joe just told us. He shows up sweaty and smelly in the winter, too.
Well, not sweaty. It's sweaty and smelly.
Well, it's smelly. You're telling us how you're leaving a trail of crap wherever you go. Well, Joe, we're glad that nobody was strangled. This Santa Claus.
Another one. People lived. Yep.
That's a win.
Is a win. Nobody was impaled by any candy canes. I mean, I assume.
So we're gonna go.
And the best part is you know the Booker Dab. We do comedy with her once in a while.
Sure.
And you know how she is. She's always got a complaint or a customer complaint. Finally, this year, I got all high marks this year. She said, "Oh, wonderful, good, good.
Good job, Santa Claus."
Yes.
You're really learning how to repress your true feelings. It's working out well for you. All right. We'll take our final break of the evening. When we come back, we will talk. We'll play part one of our interview with Tracy Douglas, scam victim. She is fighting back. We'll play part one of that. We'll do some scamming the scammers with Sue and Mickey Wynn. You are listening to Davin's Den. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.